together. Come on. While I pray, no matter. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your prayer. Break out your word. You're going to break out some praise. Last time, when somebody clapped your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Morning, family. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated, but most of all, you were beautifully made by God. Yes, this is Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn. Yes, we are here for a variety of Real Talk discussions, dynamic principles based on messages of worship to our God with extravagant respect. Excuse me. Here's my disclaimer, family. Yes, we are fully devoted to Jesus here on this broadcast and this network. And this covenant, and we believe that the door of salvation is always open to those who are seeking the truth. And with open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow men every opportunity that we get. And yes, through works of charity and by the actions in love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and we will reach the lost and unsaved of this world. Amen. Welcome. This is that broadcast that we continue to challenge, we continue to stretch, we continue to invite and ask those that are listening to don't forget somebody, don't leave somebody out, don't think that this is about ratings, this isn't about network status or anything. This is an avenue that we can come together and be truthful with one another and really support each other. We're really big on this. What are we going to do? What's the next step? Somebody calls you. What answers do we have? Do we have a check sheet? Do we have a phone list? Do we have stuff in order? Do you have stuff in order that you can actually be effective to someone if they called you right now and said, I am in a battered, beating situation, domestic violence, or any type of violence? What would you have? What could you do at that point? I hope you have your information together. That's why we're here. If you don't have it, we'll post again this week all of the national numbers, all of the local numbers, even our personal hotline numbers, P2P. You want to talk to us right now offline, you can call 562-413-3710, 562-413-3710, and you can reach us live. Someone will reach out to you and talk to you immediately. But we have other numbers. Minister Carolyn's the sisters working against gang violence and sisters working against all violence, 323-830-2161. You can hit that hotline and get a live person right then. But do you have the information? Want to challenge you to do better. I know you got it all together. I know everything's working for you, but do you have information ready just in case someone you know that is dear and close to you calls and says, I am being battered? What would you do? That's our first question today. Without any further ado, I want to bring in my co-host, my partner, my side. I'm going to call sidekick, but my side piece here on this thing for Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn. Good morning, woman of God. How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored this morning, Pastor E, and thank you so much. I thank God for another day above ground and not up under it. It's a
Amen.
Blessing to have this broadcast, and it's a blessing to have the callers call in.
Amen. Because I'm glad you said that, because it's not promised. Every day I wake my eyes, I'll be like, thank you, Lord. You got another assignment for me. And it just isn't not what I finished yesterday. It's what he wants me to finish today. So I'm gracious also. I wanted to kind of reach back. I know that Ms. Paula and them are celebrating a year in the year anniversary of justice. They're in Atlanta, in Georgia, somewhere down that area. I saw them on a live video. We were chatting, and they were having a ball at the pool and stuff. And we're lifting up them up in prayer and standing in the gap for their movement and their support. But, you know, back, I think, Minister Carolyn, that when I start watching how the movement goes with something, it's normally a month or a day that's picked out just to say, remember that the movement of No More? Everybody was wearing No More shirts, and it was, I think, in March, the first week of March, 4th through the 10th, and it was a way for everybody, leading organizations and everybody, to join together. I want to reinstitute that here on this network, that we take No More daily. Every day that we wake up, we want to be a voice of challenge for No More. I want a young lady to hear my voice this morning and hear me. You do not deserve to go through what you're going through. It was not your fault. It wasn't God's plan for your life, but you must make a decision to say no more. We're talking about preventing domestic violence, sexual assault, any kind of violence, gang violence, verbal abuse, workplace abuse, any type of abuse. We want to say no more daily. We want your help. We need your help. Make your own hashtag, No More Daily. Hey, let's get this thing pushed out there, that we're starting to push this, not just month, like October 1st. This is the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. No, we've been doing this daily. Let's really pump it up this next month as we go forward. We have some promotional shirts that we're putting out for all three of those: lupus, domestic violence, and breast cancer awareness. I think there's some others in the month of October. But we really want to be supportive, and we want you to be a part of everything we're doing. But let's start saying no more. Would you join us on that?
Yes, yes, yes.
No more. So what do we have this morning? I know I see one person called in. I'm not familiar with this number, but I know we will bring that person in just to say hello. Area code 661, last 4-5-7-8-7. You're live on Real Talk. Good morning.
That's Everett.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Edith? It's Mr. Everett.
Hey, how you doing, my brother? God bless you this morning.
Oh, man. Likewise. By all means, I would like to first and foremost thank my Heavenly Father for giving me the strength to wake up this morning and to make this phone call so that I can call in and be a part of what's been going on. Secondly, I would like to apologize for my absence, because I had great intentions. However, you know, life shows up out here sometimes and things pull us in different directions. Nonetheless, they've been positive, and I'm thankful for that. It's not an easy task, but I'm still pushing.
Amen. Amen. We know God is working good things for you, and we're excited. So what's going on with you, man? We haven't talked to you for a couple of weeks. I know you've been busy, but just kind of share with everybody what's going on with the man of God.
Lately I've been I work down here at the UN Plaza, which is next to the federal building, and that's actually where they've been lately trying to clean up at. The mayor's up here. The sister, that's the mayor up here, she's been pushing the line on the officers, saying that they need to show a little more presence, and, you know, because we're right next door to the BART station, and you have a lot of addicts down there. I mean, they're ODing like 90 going west, you know. It's sad, but it's the truth, and they're still tasting the drug. You know, their friend could overdose, and then they want what the friend had. And I'm trying to grasp that, but then I understand that it's a psychosis, and once you're gone off of it, you're gone, you know. And so I've been doing my best to try to reach out to those that would listen to me, you know, and playing a role in that aspect. And I'm also working on getting a better foot in the door in regards to affordable housing up here in San Francisco, because that's like San Francisco has actually been living as the most expensive place to live in the world. And you have the homeless rate is over 6,000, if not more, you know. So it's like, whoa, how's that going to work out?
Right.
I'm still in the fight, you know, and like you, I was just listening to you guys speak about, you know, the battered women and whatnot. You know, I see women every day with a black eye and skin missing off of their face, and, you know, that's abuse. You know, you didn't just run into a door and that happened, you know what I mean? And God only knows the real story of what really occurred. So I try to reach out to them, and Some of them I've been able to get through too. Not all of them, you know. Some of them turn a blind ear, a deaf ear, if you will. But I still do my part, man. It's not easy, though, because I'm still fixing on self. You know what I mean? So
right.
I welcome the challenge, though. I welcome the challenge. It's very interesting. I'm able to look back over the years and see how far I've come. And I reflect on it, you know, because the role that I used to play in that life, you know what I mean? I used to, shit, it ain't me, and it's cool. You know what I mean? I would live that life, you know, and that's just, it's like, whoa. You know, I'm actually looking in the mirror at it and like, that was me? Wow. I'm looking at me now like, no way, that I couldn't, no, that wasn't, yes, it really was. You know what I mean? It really was, you know. So that's why I live in apologetic daily for my own past transgressions, man, because it was mean. It was mean, and I know I've scarred some women, you know, that those scars won't heal. You know, God can only heal those scars, and some of them don't even turn to the Lord for the healing. So how
right.
can they heal? Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, that's where we dive in. I could say that
right.
you know, when I hear your testimony, and I know other people, it resonates because we've all go through the same stuff. It's no matter who you are, mm-hmm. where you come from. If we really are honest about it, we all experience the same stuff. But it's not what you experience; it's what you do now to make the experience truthful.
Right.
And I know personally, I could not reach certain people at a certain time for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I had to rely on God and rely on Him fixing me. So when
mm-hmm.
it was the right season, He had already softened
right.
their hearts and already prepared them, because that's all I prayed for is, Lord, Lord, I know you forgive me, but please touch your heart. Please touch your heart. Let them make the phone call and say,
right.
I see a difference in you, and I don't want to be held down by bondage anymore. And that's the thing of freedom, is that this one person
mm-hmm.
out there listening today that this is going to really touch, is that you cannot be free until you let yourself go be free. And it starts
yes.
with us willing to open the womb up, identify, and take some responsibility. I had to take some responsibility. Let me speak personally. I had to take some responsibility because I wouldn't have been done that way if I had guarded myself better, and if I wouldn't have been so available for other people's stuff, that I wouldn't have complaints today. So I thank God for that now we can really see God move and really be effective in the healing part, that people can be free
yeah.
again. Forgiveness isn't for the other person, it's actually for me. And
yeah.
and when I understood that, my brother, it really changed me, because I think, okay, well, man, they hate me. I know they don't like me. I know they feel this way about me. How are they going to ever get over about this? But then God said to me, he said, no, son, I need you to accept the forgiveness, because you need
right.
to forgive. You need to forgive all the people that you thought put you in that position or caused you to fail or caused you to be led the wrong way. That was a good start for me. And I implore somebody else to look at ourselves. And that mirror process is big on change.
Yes, sir. Yeah. One of the things about it is, you know, our belief system, you know, and speaking for myself, you know, I have went on to believe that the way I saw, let's say back then, my older peers treat women and live the life they live, I saw that as cool. So I too inherited that way of living, and that's all I knew. For over 20 years, I practiced that way of living. It was just like, that's what's up, right?
Right.
It wasn't until, you know, I got hit with a brick, which was in 2008 when my mother passed. It made me really sit down and reflect on life, and I was like, man, you know what? This gang banging, this trying to just use women for what I wanted from them, and then, you know, whatever happens to them, happens to them. It was like, F them. Man, this got to come to a wrap, man. Look, the one that really cared for me and gave me the real blessings and the real lessons in life that I didn't listen to then, that I pay attention to now, is gone.
Right, right,
it's
right,
gone,
right,
right. So I had to really like, man, you know what? That's a wrap. So it was then that I began to start to stand on the path of maturation and mature and accept my role that I played in that role. You know,
right.
I had to accept responsibility. Like, you know what, man, this is on me. This ain't nobody else's fault but me.
Man,
no one put me in prison but myself.
That's big. That's big.
Yes.
Because even
yes.
statistics, Even statistics say that and this is the second reason that men are batterers is because that's all they know to do. Some men only do because they were brought up in that lifestyle and in that household.
Exactly.
They watch their mothers being abused and they think that's the right way to do. It's not. We are not condoning that, but we're just saying that if we really look at the psychological factors of some of these things that are going on, we can now really start to pray in the right areas. You know, we have a movement, or we're linked up across the country praying for the minds to come back. And you know, when people say, and definitely, we know we're in a war between good and evil. And but what is the real prize that the enemy is after? Well, I had to realize, my brother, that it's not my money, it's my mind. If he could take my mind and control my mind, then I'll do crazy things. And then I'll be just like the next person. That's all I know to do. And then the people that are around me that listen to me will now be led by those same thoughts. And you'll see a movement of the same thing. That's the chains that we have to break and really be able to touch some of these young men. We're going to be starting a mentoring program with young men here at the Now Network just to get the right seed in them. But there's a lot of brothers out there, that's all they know. And then when you tell them different, they be like, dude, no, that ain't how I roll up in my house. And so that's where it's a big issue.
Right, hands down. And, you know, so the reality of that is you really can't knock a person for doing wrong if they're under the impression that their wrongdoing is right.
Right.
For myself, I can say that I really, when I was laying in the hospital bed in Solitaire Prison before I was released, I used to watch the gospel show, T.D. Jakes. He said something that's still relevant today to me. He said, I know that my Redeemer had to come from outside of me because I lacked the strength inside of myself to save myself from myself.
Man, yes. That's where we come in. We're building a greater alliance to be brothers that are willing. We really are our brother's keeper. But you must first become your own keeper first. Before I can keep my brother, I got to learn to keep myself. And then we can really get this thing going. We still got to get together, get your own man up. We're about to revamp Man Up the Movement on Tuesday nights. Let me know what Tuesday evening you have free. We're going to get you in there, my brother. Minister Carolyn, you see we got a brother a conversation going on how we can fix some of the roots of the things. But there was a question that came up as I'm petitioning people to get more involved. And the biggest thing, and this came mostly from women. Mr. Carolyn, you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm still here. I'm just,
a lot of women were asking me, well, why women don't leave? Why won't a woman leave an abusive relationship? Well, automatically, number one, that if a woman's in an abusive relationship, it's because the abuser put her there in a relying situation. They depend on them for everything, and it's hard to leave when you don't have somewhere to go. But what would you answer to the ladies out there that are saying, you know, I'm not in that life, but why won't they leave? Why do they stay? I mean, and I had to really get kind of my chest poked out. Like, well, wait a minute, why you ask that question? They were just being honest. Like, you know, if I was in that, I would leave. Well, you're not in it,
right?
You know, and we want people to want to unharden hearts, that people really accept that this is not something people want. You know, I could tell you this, and I don't know it for facts, but there's not a woman out there being abused that wants to be abused. I don't think she wakes up in the morning with the hope and prayer that my husband puts his hands on him, or vice versa. A man doesn't get in a relationship expecting to be battered or things thrown at him either.
Right.
But what would you say to that, Minister Carolyn?
Pastor, this wasn't today, this morning. I think it would be love. I'm just listening today, because I'm kind of caught up in a web myself, and this has just been going on the last 4 days. With my last husband, I wasn't physically beat. I was mentally and verbally beat down to the point where I knew that I had to leave. It wasn't that I wanted to leave. I didn't want to be treated like that no more. And we went through the honeymoon stage and all that, the back and forth. And I think that 4 days ago, on the on the same day, I got a letter from my ex's daughter, and she's in prison. And I think I was the glue that held everything together. So her question to me was, why did I have to turn my back on her because I left her father alone, you know? And she was like, he had a previous wife that done the same thing. And I had mentioned to him during that time that, you know, he couldn't keep bringing people in and out of life because even though she was a grown woman, she still was a child because when both her parents left her, she was 18 months old. And then the niece called me, and she on the other end was trying to get help for finding a place for her and her children. And she was like, well, he crazy. Both of them had something to say about the ex. And at that point, I started thinking like I was thinking then. Well, if I'm not there, he doesn't have anybody, you know? So then I start thinking, like, maybe I should write him or maybe I should just reach out and check on him. But on the inside, the spirit was telling me, don't open those doors. So right. I started, actually it was longer than that. It was when it started when I was in the hospital the first time that his niece had called me. And so what I started doing was I started running. I got up out the hospital and I started trying to do little odd jobs or trying to help people and then going to feed people. And it was like I was running from, again, that relationship that had been over 2 years that I've left. And like I ran from the drugs. And it's like you can keep running, but when are you going to start healing? When are you going to, you know? So what I'm going through now is like the nightmare all over again. It's like after the pain, there's still more pain when you didn't get rid of the first pain you had. So
right,
it's
right.
Like I'm going through my own thing, you know, right now because I know that it's And with that relationship with he and I, it's like it's either him or it's either me. And I remember he said something to me. I forgot how he quoted it, but the bottom line was, you know, he had to think about him before anybody else. But he said it like being a smartass, but in the heat of an argument. But when I start thinking, it's like that's really what he meant. So that's really how I have to get down too, but I'm not that type of person. It's like I'm too soft. You know, everybody know the hard curling or the hard bubbles, but on the inside, my heart is not like that. So it's hard for me to, like, move out the way because still, even though I'm sick, I just had a stroke. And the minute they said something about him, I'm like, well, he doesn't have anybody. Maybe I should see if he's okay, but you know, who was there? Did he call to see if I was okay or did he call to cuss me out again? So
right.
It's like I'm thinking that women stay because women genuinely love. That's in their heart. And it's hard to let go even when you're in those states. And some women, well, I'll speak for myself. We go through it over and over and over because with me, it's like sometimes I got over the abuse of men by jumping into another relationship. And then that relationship was just like the last relationship, except it was the same kind of man, he just had a different name. And then that became a cycle for me until with this last husband, I just pushed back and was like, the men I met after that I tried to get involved with, they were the same sign. Birthdays the same day. And it's like God was showing me, you trying to run to another man, but until you run to me, you're going to
Wait, say that again. Wait, say that again.
To.
Until you do what?
One more
until you
One
run
more
to me.
Yes.
Until you run to me. So I had to tell God, you know, you just reminded me why I left my husband, so I can't do you. And then I would run to God, and it's like I listened to what you just said a minute ago, how Satan will try to grab your mind, because that's all he needs is your mind. And
that's all he needs.
Kept me going back to smoking dope. It's like you could just take one hit. Or you know what I'm saying? And you'll
be
fine.
Yeah, yeah, you can handle
that hit. Yeah,
you
that hit took your
right.
whole check and you went in the house and started taking something. It's like everything must go still. Then you wake up and you don't have jack. And it's the same thing with the man, except you wake up just having nothing, you know. And I when I walked in Pastor Brenda's house, it's like I came in here and I have to blast my gospel music for the 30-minute ride I had here. Then I had to sit in my car 10 minutes just to compose myself and keep the lyrics going in my mind. Then I got my notebook out the car because I was going to write them. Then I threw it back in the car. So now I'm at the point of being angry at myself because I'm allowing the thought that, you know, I just want to see if he's okay because I'm serious, but now I'm not okay wondering if he's okay. And it's crazy. It's a vicious cycle. And so all I can do is just throw my hands up and surrender. And I'm just asking God, can you please tell me and show me what to do? But sometimes me, I'll speak for me, I'm hard at it. Even when I hear him tell me what to do.
Come on, confess. Don't confess in front of your brother.
That's our downfall. To some women, that's our downfall. It's we don't listen, whether it be God talking to us or
that part.
Somebody
that
telling
part.
Us. Like you guys telling. You know, we don't listen. I could tell my friend all day, you don't need that man. Leave him. And I could give her 1,000 reasons because I just went through it with a friend. But it's like Satan said, okay, you're trying to tell her, I'm going to shake you up again.
Ooh,
and then there
whoa.
It is. He came through the crack. So
there it is. That part. You know, but let's be let's be transparent, though. Let's be transparent. It's just not the ladies. Look, we the same way. We are so compatible. We really are. Men and women are so much alike. But we the same way. You know, want to tell somebody and before we tell ourselves. And don't want to hear from nobody. Get an attitude. What now you going to tell me about me? What about working on me? Sometimes we got somebody. We need people in our lives. And I'm going to throw you under the bus, Minister Carolyn, because now I know why you ain't been answering my phone call.
There we go.
Yeah. Now I know why I ain't been getting the response as quick as I normally do, because you didn't want me to get in it because you already know where I'm going to go. But anyway, we're going to let that go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes. You told off for yourself. But amen, I love you and I forgive you. And we're going to keep on pushing and keep on working this thing. But we have to reach out to each other. That's what I'll be saying about you are not alone. And I'm not talking just to Mr. Carroll. I'm talking to anybody out there in the sound of my voice. You are not alone. We are here for you. That's why we are building these covenant relationships, that you have a wise ear to listen, but also a wise voice to speak and to hold ourselves accountable. We need to hold ourselves accountable. You can't do it on your own. Cold turkey will not work. You need stronger methods, stronger principles to put in our lives, and that starts with us working together and trusting one another. And yes, you gotta want to hear it.
For that too, Pastor. I got something for that, Pastor.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You were speaking. You asked a question, and it was directed to Minister Carolyn. Why is it women stay when they know that, you know what I mean, it's wrong? Well, in both cases, we're gonna put both parties on both sexes, the male and the female. We have a tendency to justify wrong, and then when we in our process of justifying wrong. We stay in the wrong. We stay in the wrong, right? We stay in. We can, like she said, she's hard-headed. I've been hard-headed myself. Many a time, I knew, man, this play is not what it do. Oh, but I stayed and told myself I can make it work this time. I can make it work this time.
Yeah.
But in the process, I'm being abused every time. You see what I'm saying? And sad but true, sometimes you got to just bump your head hard enough to where, boom, okay, now I'm woke. I'm done with that one. I'm done. I feel you. I know you told me a few times, but I'm listening this time. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, that's a very painful thing, because when you begun, it was about, you know, domestic abuse next door. Many women may feel, if I leave, where am I gonna go? He's my support.
That's a big one.
He's my
that's
rock.
A real
I love
big
him.
One there.
You know what I mean? Where am I gonna go? He's my support. He's my rock. He's my everything. But he only busts me over the head. I'll be all right from that. I'm cool. You know, he don't trip all the time. You know, sometimes he takes me out and wines and dines me, and vice versa. You know, sometimes he come home and be feeling cool, and we go out and do our thing. And it's just sometimes she be tripping. I could work with that. You know, so you justifying the reason you staying. You know what I mean? Let's say, remember, correct that. We justify the reason we've stayed. You know what I mean? And we shouldn't, because the reality of it is we all deserve better.
Yes, that's right.
And
that's
that
right.
Better,
that's right.
And that better is when we begin to listen to better, and we begin to listen to the Creator.
Right.
For he shall never leave us.
I gotta put it, because I want to link this to what you just said, because we just got a message through Facebook, and it's saying that a lot of women stay in it because they blame themselves. Well, if I wouldn't have said it that way, he wouldn't have went off. I shouldn't have provoked him, because I knew that is the farthest from it. If he is violent, there's no justification for it.
Exactly.
There's no justification for it whatsoever.
Yeah, but we'll justify wrong in order to stay, to make us feel okay with it. That's what it is. We'll make us feel okay with it. I'm going to justify this by saying, you know what, I was in the wrong. I should not have said, hurry up. I know that ticks him off, or whatever the case was. You know what I mean? And
right.
Man, look, I heard that. Never
yeah, that's
again.
Unacceptable. That's not true. That should not be allowed. Yeah. And I keep crying to everybody out there, you did not deserve it. It's not your fault. And yes, I'm going to say this. It's not your fault. But a lot of things, and I'm just going to say personally, all of the things that did not go right for me is because I didn't do good investigation. I didn't research. I didn't develop and see if it really was working for me. That's what we talked about last night on Let's Talk About It. Do you really know who you are and what really would make you happy? A lot of us are in
doing
relationships.
That homework. Yeah.
Homework, asking the right questions. Because I guarantee you saw some signs, and I said this weeks ago. I guarantee that first date, when you went out on an intimate situation, something happened that triggered and said, wait a minute, why did he go like that? There was no reason for that.
Like, whatever, and keep going.
That was just an incident. She should have did that to him. No, you got to look at those warning signs up front, and you'll know what not to go through. Oh, wait a minute. No. That's not a good first sign, especially the first date. You see triggers of impatience, of anger, of unwilling to wait on somebody to part. And you see those things. Those are the little things that we got to start watching to say, what, that person don't even – And here's another thing. We need a checklist.
Yep.
When you're coming out of your pain and you're healed now and you're ready to go to the next level, you need a checklist. And it starts with God. Letting God show you for who you really are. And then now you know who your desires are, because your desires come from God. And that checklist will be unmatchable for somebody who is an abuser, who is a fornicator or a liar or cheater, because your checklist will prove it. My God.
Indeed.
Get a checklist.
Indeed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We got some other callers. I see we got the lines fired up here. Area code 323, last four, 8437. You are live on Real Talk.
Oh, no, I meant.
God bless you, Pastor E and the staff there. This is Brother Lewis.
Brother Dwight,
today.
How are you, my brother?
God bless you, Doctor. I heard everything, and I was really touched. And because the other day when I was doing Bible studies at the church, I mentioned to them about my commitment offense when I went to prison, and so I was sharing some of the things that I jumped on the girl that was with me at the time, right in front of her grandmother, who was a saved Christian. And so, you know, I was really convicted lately because, you know, I'm always trying to, I would like to always apologize. I haven't hit on a woman in 30-something years or something. And a lot of things that were said today is true, you know, that environment and our influence and stuff like that. And you know, nobody should be. I teach domestic violence now, anger management and all that stuff. And, you know, domestic violence usually leads, and if you continue in that relationship, it'll lead to death. And
right.
So I'm always apologizing. You know, it says, envy not the oppressor, nor choose any of his ways. And so we, you know, a lot of men for the last 50-some years, black men, were oppressed by the system, and they took it out on the women. Many women survived and have bettered their lives. And, you know, anything, people only do what you allow them to do. You have to love yourself. And as the sister was sharing, you know, you have to come into truth and revelation. All of us are recovering from our past. And like
right.
you said about that check, Pastor Lee, you know, we continue to need to check ourselves, especially when we get promoted or something like that, or God elevates us. We still have weaknesses. We have strengths. We need to always, as you draw closer to God and he is truth, then you start seeing more truth of yourself. And anything can trigger that. But, you know, most of us that's been a while with the Lord for a while, we know that it's totally wrong. You can never call good evil and evil good. We should never do that. And I know that, but I heard the brother say about being more compassionate with those that are stuck, you know, because we were like that too. We were immature. We were working out of pain and feelings and anger and all kind of stuff. And even the things that the drugs induce, you know. You know, I continually, when I share with people, I always want to apologize and even stand in proxy for men that have abused women. The color, there's no color barrier. It'll never be right. It'll never be justified. And, you know, I just continually try to bow before God and mankind that what I did was wrong, and what any man did, you know, was wrong in that lifestyle or whatever, you know.
Right.
So we have to continue work as healing agents, wounded healers, to help our young men and women, you know, so they can stay out of those relationships, at least get healed, work on themselves where they can get healed, God healing them, where they can have healthy relationships. Because God
oh,
wants
my God, yes.
us to have healthy relationships, so because it goes on to the next generation. You know, and our children see it. So my mother used to say, monkey see, monkey do. I don't know if she was an evolutionist or something, but, you know, she had a lot of compliments. She had a lot of expression of monkeys, you know. And so,
right.
But I know that a lot of people are hurting, and sometimes in a system, you know, that's all people know. And so God loves us where we at, but he's not going to leave us there, you know. And so we're still trying to save a nation and trying to save a future. Be informed. They need to be, you know, we have to mentor them, and we have to pour out our lives to them. We have to let them know that we were just crazy and acted a fool, you know, as much as they think they did. We could probably spot them on being a fool. So, you know, it's the right way to do it. And
that's
I'm
right.
just encouraged. And I'm every time I have the opportunity, I'm a share in that circle, whatever is required, to speak to these young people, because some of them don't think you ever been through nothing. They don't think you've been in church all your life. You don't know nothing. They don't know that we've been through hell and back. And God
yes.
has kept us alive to tell it to them so they can have a form of reference that ain't cool. It ain't happening anymore. You know, because every life is precious to God. You know, and he wants people to live. He made man and woman. I told people the other day, Pastor Lee, if God would have made two men, we wouldn't be here today. If he would have made two women in the beginning, we wouldn't have been here today.
That's
so
right.
I'm not
That's
trying,
right.
I'm not throwing no monkey wrench out there to nobody. If it don't apply, let it fly. But, you know, I'm just saying that he still don't want us killing each other, male killing female, female killing male. He don't want that. He wants us to have healthy relationships, and that glorifies him and makes better communities.
Yes, cool.
You know,
Hallelujah.
We all would be in a rut we is if we could see ourselves as God sees us and treat each other the way God wants us to treat each other. That's all I have to say. I'm a better man. Since this broadcast, Doc, I'm a better man.
Amen. Well, you know, we become an agent of forgiveness. If you just need to hear it, and we us men here that have joined together. To say we're willing to be the agent of forgiveness. If you need us to ask for forgiveness, I'll be the one. I'll stand in the gap for that person that may not be here anymore, that may have been deceased, and you just need to hear it. Please forgive me. If you've ever been hurt, use me as the agent of forgiveness, and I ask you for your forgiveness today. That's male or female. Thank you so much, Doctor. Man, this is a good friend of mine, Pastor, the chaplain, Dr. Dwight Lewis down at LA Mission. We're going to be doing on the day of Taste of Soul, we're going to be doing an outreach. This is Holy Ground on the corner of 6th and San Pedro. And we're just going to share and make some noise out there. We asked the performers to come down there and just bless the community. I got one of my friends, my barber, actually plays the saxophone. He's going to come down and blow his horn. We're going to be singing. We asked the rappers to come. We're going to have open mic. We're going to have people to listen. If you need an ear to listen to you on that day, we're going to be down there. So Taste of Soul on Crenshaw, but we're going to be the Taste of Skid Row on the 20th down there from 12 to 4. So, man of God, thank you so much.
God bless you, Doctor, and God bless the pastor that's with you. I just want to say I ask for forgiveness to her for all those men that didn't do the right thing and didn't value the precious woman that you are. I ask for forgiveness.
Amen. Bless you. God bless you. Minister Terry, welcome to Real Talk with Pastor E and Minister Carolyn. How are you this morning?
Blessed. Good morning, beautiful. Yes, you know. Good morning, my beautiful family. I thank God. I thank God for hearing Minister Curlin on board, and also Pastor E and all the listeners and all the panel that's on board this morning. I thank God for you guys. But Pastor E, I did write down the National Domestic Hotline number and the P2P Ministry Hotline number, but I would like you to repeat Minister Curlin's hotline if she is up to taking calls at this moment, too.
Sisters
Amen.
Working Against Gang Violence, area code 323, last four. 323-830-2161. Again, 323-830-2161.
Okay.
And we're going to post on the event all of the numbers, every number there is nationally. We're going to put them out there, but we want these three distinctive numbers that you can use because we will answer.
Yes, I have the two. I have the two prior, but I'll put Minister Curlin's also. But, you know, I wanted to address the question that was asked on why women don't lead. And I meditated on that personally because I tell you, sometimes just being in an abusive physically, verbally, emotionally, and, you know, when it occurred in my life, I was a fighter. Then I knew this wasn't right. You shouldn't have to be verbally abused that leads up to physical abuse. That's not love. So, and I think a lot of it is women, and it may be men also, they tear down, they try to tear down your self-worth. And I tell you, anytime it starts, just get out right now. And Pastor E, I think you and Minister Everett said it earlier, that a lot of women stay because they're financially dependent in the relationship. That probably was then, but now, right now, women are financially able to get out. And if you're not financially able, they have told us, and we have mentioned on the call that we have resources and we have hotline numbers, because I heard Pastor Dwight say, physical abuse, you stay in it too long, only thing that can come out of it is your death. So, glory be to God. This broadcast needs to continue until we reach all men and women that are in domestically abusive relationships. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we're vowing to keep this line open weekly. This will not stop. We're not getting ready to go into a new season. We're going to continue this rolling. I think this is a need that the Lord has put and given us an option to use at this time. God bless you, woman of God. Anybody else?
God
come on, dial one. Oh no, God bless you more.
Amen.
Anybody else? We got a few more minutes. Dial one. Get in the conversation. You may be struggling with something and you don't want to talk verbally and let everybody know it. Dial one, and then once I bring you in, just say private. I'll take you over into the green room where nobody can hear you but me, ourselves, and one other person, whoever one of our ministers we bring in. We can listen to you today. You don't have to call the hotline. You can get you on the hotline. You can dial one right now.
Amen.
We'll take you over to a private area and talk with you now. Minister Carolyn, this has been great. I know you're receiving today, and that's good. That as we're vulnerable, you know, let's let people know that we're not perfect. We're not here to say we got all the answers, and that we're not actually going through when we're talking about it. But I tell you one thing, I'm better than I was when I wasn't talking about it, because now I know there's another choice. There's another way. And it starts with me doing better, better investigation, get that checklist, start asking the right questions. But learn God. Go run to God while he, you know, the Bible says, it says seek him while he's able to be found. You better come on. And don't wait until he get here. Oh, there he is. Oh, he came back. No, you better get him now. He's looking for those that will believe in him now. Know he's coming. You don't know the day or the hour, but you know he's coming. Get that relationship of readiness. Remember I said this yesterday on Real Talk. I mean on a Wake Up, Get Up, Move in Your Purpose. Are you really serving God for the reward you think he can do, or are you serving him for the relationship that he'll give? The reward that you would think he'll do for you, or the relationship that he promised for you. It's a difference, and we have to make that difference. Minister Carroll.
I just want to I'm thankful to be here to listen. I'm also thankful to be able to help someone that's going through it. Minister Dwight, when he said about the checklist and it could lead up to death. With my situation, my ex is in prison for killing his daughter's mother. And I had lately found out that he also shot a girlfriend right before he killed his baby's mother. So it's like the signs was there, but you always say, oh, he wouldn't do me like that. Or because I'm as rough as he is, that it still could go all bad. If he don't kill me, I could end up killing him. And so, yes, you definitely have to follow and have a checklist. You do. But so many women, there's always a but so many women, such as myself, don't pay attention, or we think that we can handle it. We, you know, we got this under control. And for so many years, I was already still drinking. I wasn't heavily into my addiction, but I was still drinking. So I would go toe-to-toe, you know, with them, with the verbal abuse. And a couple of times in the visiting room, if he looked like he wanted to say something crazy, or I would do something stupid like slap all the dominoes off the table and like, what you want to do? But it got to the point where when I didn't want to do that no more. And then I started going to church, and my friend took me to church, and I started ministering. Then I got ordained an evangelist, and then he would talk about you could go on with that God stuff. And I'm like, that was a big sign right there when he said that. So then it got to the point where either you jump on board or you get off. I'm leaving. And we would start praying. And then when I decided to leave him after one of those verbal attacks, he was like, well, I know what happened. We stopped praying with each other. No, that was a way for you to sucker your way back in the picture. Now you want to pray again. But you didn't want to pray when you was just cussing me out and calling me out my name. So in conclusion to this, it's like, yes, I still have a lot to think about. Yes, but instead of running, I know that I have to really seek, you know, help for my mental state. I need to do Christian counseling. And I'm not ashamed to say that I need it, you know. And so my message to the women out there that you can't handle it alone. You know, I know firsthand you can't. And you can't continue to run from it. And I know firsthand that's what I've been doing. It's just running and trying to stuff the pain. Because there's still pain after my pain. I got rid of it. You know, I walked away from the relationship, but I'm still getting the gut of it, the residue from the pain. It's still there because I haven't worked on it. That's like an addict trying to make it without going to a meeting, without doing some steps, without involving God in your life. So it's like I'm struggling all across the board. So I just want to let all the women know, men know, that you have to stop running. And you have to seek help, and you have to get guidance. And when you get the guidance that God is slamming in your face, you have to pay attention to it. And that's all I have to say.
Amen, amen. That is so true. And it starts with us. That goes with each and every one of us. We all dealing with something. And it's not what you do, but how you do it. And I know relying on God and really trusting in him to know that, first of all, when obstacles come, he's drawing me closer to him. He wants to know that he's going to be the first name I call. And then he wants to know that I'm willing to go through the circumstances so I can come out on the other end and now be able to help you through your trouble and help you through your circumstances. Remember that he's looking for us to be a one voice, one mind, the same willingness to trust him and in the storm, out the storm, around the storm or whatever it may be, but to be trusting in him and do not by any means blame God. God was not in control of that situation. No, God didn't let that happen in that situation. But what God is willing to do and is able to do is heal us. Let's heal the land. Let's heal the people. But it starts with me. God bless you guys, man. We thank God for you. I want you to know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. You are valued by God. You are God's greatest miracle. Don't let anybody, if someone tells you you're not, if someone calls you a name that is out of the glory and of the excellence that God would want you to see yourself, then you need to stop listening to those words. You are great. You are a miracle. You are a work in progress, but you are a child of God. Start acting like it and walk by faith and not by sight.
Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. I just want eternal life. I just want eternal life.
Living this world, trying to be different. Look, I swear it gets tempting. Y'all be like him. Please don't be like me. Y'all know we all sinners in this thing called life, but I may have y'all be. Time after time, day after day, I swear this flesh gets weak. Lord, I need your helping hand. Guide me through the things that I can't understand. Take me from a boy and make me to a man. I just wanna enter to your promised land. And I know that I can, and I know that I will. But my sin earned a bill that my pockets can't peel. So when the judgment is near, I will have no fear. No, you still near, no, you still care. That cross you bear, that blood you shed. But my burdens, my Lord, look, you left them there. You was there, said, put them on my tab. I got him, put them on my tab. You paid that price for me. I wasn't dead, I see. And that pit of was death, stupid, is this on me? Lord, stupid, is this on me? Stupid, is this on me? Not cause how good I've been. You saved me in my sin. Work it won't get you in. Work it won't get you in. Stay on a mission, just to look. Don't be afraid to be different. I know you're not perfect, my grace is sufficient. That's why I've given you purpose. To worship me, in spirit and in truth. I formed you in your mother's womb before the world ever knew you. Spend every day with me, you hurt. Son, come pray to me. Not only when you need me, sometimes reach out and greet me. Believe in me, like I believe in you. I got your life in the palm of my hands. I promise to never harm you or leave you, betray you, forsake you. Every trial you go through was set up all just for your breakthrough. So walk by faith and not by sight. It's easier to walk in darkness when you know the light. So take flight, we on to a new life. Streets of gold, happiness, peace, filled with eternal life. If I take my time, would you still believe? It takes patience and faith to reap my promises.
Been through the fire, been through the flood. Done a lot of things that I'm so ashamed of. But I know you died to save my soul. So if that's what you want from me, then you get it with all guarantee. 'Cause I just want
Children